Welcome to another message from Life Point Church, located at 400 South Abilene in Valley Center, Kansas. For more information on Life Point Church, go to our website at lpcag.org. It is our prayer to invest in generations to influence community.
Well, God bless everybody this morning. I sure appreciate Pastor having me here. Been here before four or five times in the past. It's been a while back that I hadn't been here. But this church here has been supporting our work as our countercult mission work for a long time. So we, first thing I'd like to say is I appreciate this church supporting us. Every month, you guys, I'm one of the missionaries that the church here supports, and we appreciate everything you guys do for us, praying for us and supporting us financially to be able to do this work full time. So that really means a lot to us. We should appreciate that. How many here have been visited by a Jehovah's Witness before? Everybody, if you haven't, you will, because this is what they do. Jehovah's Witnesses are growing leaps and bounds here in the U.S. Here in the U.S., they are the third fastest growing church in the U.S. They're the third fastest growing group here in the U.S., and we are our work among Mormons and Jehovah's Witnesses. We've been really busy, you know, meeting with them. I have Bible studies going on every week with Mormons and Jehovah's Witnesses, trying to share the gospel with them. I travel and do seminars in local churches, equipping local churches on what Mormons believe, Jehovah's Witnesses believe, and how to reach out to them when they come knocking at your door. But the Mormons, or Jehovah's Witnesses, they are, like I mentioned, number three fastest growing church in the U.S. They're pushing about 11 million members worldwide, 7 million here in the U.S. They have a very impressive missionary program that's amazing. I think Mormons have 80,000 missionaries, but Jehovah's Witnesses believe that every Jehovah's Witness is a missionary. Every Jehovah's Witness is a minister of their gospel. So you're talking about millions of them every week going, knocking on your doors, and this is where most of their converts are won. Is a one-to-one at the door. So they're very good at doing that. They know their doctrines very well, and they are really good at going door-to-door witnessing. And like I said, that's most of their converts are won by doing that. I'll be going over this little outline that you guys have there if you want to write the answers to them. But basically, Jehovah's Witnesses, some of their tenets of faith, what do they believe? You know, Jehovah's Witnesses believe that there is no hell. There is no hell for a Jehovah's Witness in their belief system. They believe what they call soul sleep. They believe that when you die, your soul dies. And if you're not a Jehovah's Witness, you just go back to the dust, go back to the earth. So no hell, no judgment for you. You just cease to exist. So they believe, they get this from the Seventh-day Adventist. This is where they get this doctrine from. Charles Chase Russell, who was a founder of Jehovah's Witnesses, this is where he got it from. So there is no hell. That's one of their main doctrines. They believe Jesus Christ is not God. That's another of their main doctrines. Only Jehovah is God to them, the Father, who they call Jehovah. So they don't believe in the doctrine of the Trinity. They believe in Jehovah God only, and they believe they only worship him. To them, Jesus is not worshiped. He's not prayed to, because he's not God. They also believe you're probably familiar with their systems of belief of no celebration of holidays or birthdays. You probably heard that, right? They don't join military, no military involvement. No political involvement, no saluting the flag, blood transfusions. You cannot give or receive blood transfusions. So these are some of the things that they believe that differ from Christianity. They believe in salvation. but they believe in a process of salvation. They believe that you have to work at it your whole life, and when you die, hopefully you've done enough. And that's kind of some of their system of beliefs. You know, they have a founder. The founder is named Charles Taze Russell. He's the founder of Jehovah's Witnesses. It started in 1876. They believe that before the Jehovah's Witnesses were around, before Charles Taze Russell, there was no church on earth. There was no true church on earth. They believe that when Jesus died, his apostles died, the church died. There was a total apostasy that wiped out the church completely because of false doctrine. Until 1876, when Charles Taze Russell came around and started this church again called the Jehovah's Witnesses. You know, when they started, their name was not Jehovah's Witnesses. Their name were called Bible Students. That was their official name, the Bible Students. And then they changed it to the Jehovah's Witnesses. So let's kind of give you a little historical background on what they believe. Point number three here, who is Jesus? You know, I think this is really I'm glad Pastor Steve put this in there, because who is Jesus? Isn't that one of the most important things of Christianity? Who is Jesus? He is the most important center of Christianity. And they believe totally different on who Jesus is. Within the Jehovah's Witnesses, they believe that Jesus at one point didn't exist, and Jehovah God created Jesus as an angel, and his official name was not Jesus but Michael the Archangel. You probably heard Michael the Archangel of the Old Testament. Well, that's who they believe Jesus was. He is Jesus the Archangel. So within Jehovah's Witnesses, they don't pray to Jesus. They don't worship Jesus because he's just an angel. How could you pray to an angel, right? So this is really a point, I think, that divides. You know, you cannot be a Christian and believe that Jesus is just an angel or an archangel. Could you imagine a Michael the Archangel? It just doesn't fit the scriptures where he says, come to me, all those who are weary and heavy burdened, I will give you rest. It doesn't fit with an angel. It doesn't fit. So Jehovah's Witnesses, this is really one of their main points. This is one of their main discussions at the door, is who is Jesus? They've made Watchtower magazines, you know, these magazines they produce to disprove Jesus Christ is God. This is one of their main topics at the door. So if you want to have a dialogue with Jehovah's Witnesses, you need to study who Jesus is, because that will come in the conversation. Who is Jesus Christ? And the Bible says Jesus Christ is God, right? You know, that's what the Bible talks about, the opposite of what Jehovah's Witnesses say. Jehovah's Witnesses says he's created. The Bible says he's always existed. The Bible says he's just an angel, yet the Bible says he is the Almighty God, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. Just so many examples you see in the Bible. You know, Jesus said he's the one who is to come, the Almighty. So several examples. If you want to write a couple of scriptures down, 2 Peter 1:1 is a good verse to use with the Jehovah's Witness on Jesus being God. 1 John 5:20. Hebrews 1:8, Revelation 1:8, John 1:1, John 8:58, and John 20:28. All these verses will tell you that Jesus Christ is the Almighty God of the Bible, that he's not an angel, but he is the great God of Scripture, of the Bible. So, you know, this is a point that, you know, you could be a Christian and have some weird teachings, maybe be out in left field somewhere, but you're still within the ballpark. But this teaching that Jesus is not God, you're not even in the ballpark. I mean, this is you're way not even within the ballpark. And this is really the center of Christianity, is Jesus Christ being God. And so that's one of the points that they really try to hit home. Jesus Christ is not God, they say. But to us, the Bible say he is God. Also, on point number four, you know, what does Jehovah's Witness believe in salvation? Our church believes in salvation. Their church believes in salvation too. But how you get there is where it's different. Jehovah's Witnesses believe that you can receive salvation, but it's a future event. It's not for today. You have to work at it your whole life. And they say in their writings that salvation is a life of good works. I jotted down here a couple of things that they believe. In their Watchtower magazine, February 15th, 1983, they give four requirements for salvation. Number one, take in knowledge by studying the Bible and the Watchtower literature. Number two, obey the rules and commands of the Watchtower organization. Three, be baptized into God's organization. And number four, spread the news about Jehovah's kingdom to others by going door to door, house to house. Then they also have other rules. No celebration of holidays or birthdays, no military involvement, no political involvement, no blood transfusions, no celebration of birthdays or anything like that. And then they said in their 1947 Watchtower, to get one's name written in the book of life would depend upon one's work. To get one's name written in the book of life would depend upon one's work. This is really foreign in the Bible. The Bible says that we are saved by faith, that God gives it to us as a gift, that he gives us salvation when we come to him. When we trust in him, he gives us eternal life. And it's not what we do, it's what he has done. But Jehovah's Witnesses turn it around and say that you can get your name written in that book, but it depends upon one's work. You know, if it depended on you, would you make it? Would you be good enough? Could we be good enough to have our name written in that book if it depended on our performance, on our works, on our life, on our commitments, on our devotions? We wouldn't make it. None of us would make it. But even if we could make it, we will be able to tell Christ, Jesus, that was good and all that you died for maybe after. But after all, I fulfill the requirements. I made it. It takes glory out of God and puts it upon man. So scripturally, this is really foreign. The Bible says, for it is by grace that you have been saved through faith. This is not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. 1 John 5:10 says, this is a testimony. God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have eternal life. John 5:24, I tell you the truth. Whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. So salvation, it is a gift. And we cannot earn it by joining a church. We cannot earn it by doing certain things. We receive it as a gift that God gives to us. You know, this is one of the main things of Jehovah's Witnesses. You have to work at it. And that's why you see them going door to door all the time. You know, how many have seen them going door to door? They probably knocked on your door. One of the reasons why they're doing that is to bring you God's word. But another reason they're doing that is because they're trying to gain eternal life. They're trying to fulfill. You know, when they go door to door, they are required. Jehovah's Witnesses require their members to go door-to-door witnessing. It's not if you want to, you have to. The minimum requirement is 15 hours a month. That's for the brand new Jehovah's Witness. Now, the Jehovah's Witness, I did 150 hours a month, but I was full-time. And that's what you do. So it's a requirement. You have to gain eternal life by doing all these things. You know, what a pitiful view of eternal life, of heaven, that you have to do it yourself. You know, it's not Christ did it for you, but you have to do it yourself. And throughout your life, you could be a good Jehovah's Witness for 50 years, 60, 70 years of your life. You could do all this and still not know whether you are going to make it. So no assurance of salvation. This is really key to every cult. They have no assurance of salvation. Point number five, what do they believe about the Bible? What do you believe about the Bible? What do you believe about the Bible? The Bible is God's word. comes to us, has been preserved through all these years, and finally, we have a Bible. Everybody have a Bible. Sometimes we have more than one Bible, right? Jehovah's Witnesses believe that the Bible is good, and the Bible is gives you God's word, but the Bible is not for the individual. The Bible is not for you. The Bible belongs to the organization of Jehovah's Witnesses. I gave this quote this morning at Sunday school, but in their October 1st, 1976 magazine, they said this: the Bible is an organizational book, and it belongs to the Christian congregation as an organization, not to individuals. Regardless how sincerely they may believe they can interpret the Bible cannot be properly understood without Jehovah's visible organization in mind. So the Bible is not for you or for me. You can read it, but you cannot come to your own interpretation. You need their church. You need the Jehovah's Witnesses to teach you what they believe. You know, when the Jehovah's Witnesses, they used to use a King James Bible before the 50s. Then they changed it to the American Standard in 1956. But in 1960, they came out with their own Bible called the New World Translation. When they came up with their own Bible, they didn't give the names out of the committee who were the translation committee, who did the actual translation. They didn't give the names out. And they were asked, why don't you give the names of the people who did the actual translation? They said, we don't want to give the names out because we want to give Jehovah God the glory, not the translators, for this great Bible, they said. So for years, they no one knew who were the actual translators. Well, 1980, Raymond France was part of the governing body, the hierarchy of Jehovah's Witness. He was excommunicated. He was disfellowshipped. Well, he knew who they were. He gave the names out. When he gave the names out, none of them knew Greek or Hebrew. Now, to translate from the Greek the copies of the Greek manuscripts to the English, you need to know Greek and you need to know English, right? Well, none of them knew Greek. It was really a bad translation. It's not a good translation. They have their own Bible called the New World Translation. And I just want to quote a couple of scholars here. For example, Bruce Metzger, who is really one of the best Greek grammarians out there. He was a late professor in Princeton. And he said this, that the New World Translation is a frightful mistranslation, erroneous, pernicious, and reprehensible. Robert Kaunas, who wrote a doctoral dissertation of the New World Translation, concluded that this translation has been sharply unsuccessful in keeping doctrinal consideration from influencing the actual translation. It must be viewed as a biased piece of work. At some points, it is actually dishonest. At others, it is neither modern nor scholarly. Everybody from A.T. Robertson and all these great Greek grammarians, none of them say it's a good translation except the Jehovah's Witnesses. So it's not a good Bible. It's been changed, but maybe 15 to 20% of it has been changed. Especially the verses that have to do with Jesus Christ being fully God, they've changed. The verses that have to do with his deity has changed. So it's not really a good Bible. It's not a good translation. You know, point number six, why are the Jehovah's Witnesses not a Christian congregation? You know, every point that I mentioned, their point of Jesus Christ, who is Jesus Christ, the point of salvation that I mentioned, the point of their Bible, and all these other views, none of them are a historic doctrines. You know, the apostles didn't believe that there was no hell. They believed that there was a hell. The disciples and apostles believed in the Trinity. They believed Jesus Christ was God. They talked about God. They died for him. So all these different views do not mirror the views that the apostles had, that they taught, the creeds that they taught, and how they become Christians and things like that. You know, when I was a Jehovah's Witness, I was a very dedicated Jehovah's Witness. And most Jehovah's Witnesses that I've known have been very dedicated. You know, demonstrate devotion, a sincere devotion, a jealousy to their faith. That's amazing. You know, they go door-to-door witnessing. They give their life. They'll give their money, their finances, their family to their church. When I was a Jehovah's Witness, I remember this person, when I was a Jehovah's Witness, he was a very dedicated Jehovah's Witness, and his name was Val. Val had a daughter that was maybe 4 to 5 years old, a little beautiful little girl, and loved her with a passion. You know, everywhere that Val would go, little girl would be with him. I remember him going to the grocery store, seeing him there, and the little girl would be with him. He would go door-to-door witnessing as a Jehovah's Witness, and she would be there with him. Everywhere he would go, she would go. One day, Val and his wife and his daughter was going to, they were going to give a presentation at a Kingdom Hall, Jehovah's Witness church in a different town. When they were driving there, they were struck by a tractor trailer, and they were badly hurt. But the daughter was really hurt. One of her legs just came out of her body. And they were life-fighted, and the doctors told him, your daughter has lost too much blood. She needs a blood transfusion, or else she's going to die. Well, Val was a very dedicated Jehovah's Witness. He was pacing. I don't know if you know this. Jehovah's Witness cannot give or receive a blood transfusion. He was pacing back and forth. What am I going to do? What do I do? What should I do? Well, he denied her a blood transfusion. 4 hours later, she died. And I remember Val because he weighed about maybe 250 pounds, maybe 6'2". I saw him a few months later. He weighed about 60 pounds. He wouldn't eat. He was depressed because his daughter died. The disciplinary committee, a committee of Jehovah's Witnesses, went to his home and said, we are going to excommunicate you either way, because you're depressed, and no Jehovah Witness should be depressed. Thinking back, I think about his commitment. What commitment that Val had to his church, to the Jehovah Witnesses. He wasn't a leader in it, but he was dedicated in it. You know, he let his daughter die for his faith. You know, I look at the Mormons. You guys talked about the Mormons last week. I look at their faith and I say, man, what a dedication they have. You know, when I was, you know, even now, and when I was a Jehovah's Witness, I have never met a Jehovah's Witness that's not sold out for their faith. 100%. I never met one. Never have I met one. Usually they leave right away. But I've never met one of them that's not sold out for their faith. Like Val. You know, I think about the Hindus. The Buddhas, the Sai Babas, the Hare Krishnas, the Maharaja Yogis, all these religions. Think about the Mormons, Jehovah's Witnesses. They'll die before they deny their faith. But what about us? What about the Christian? You know, what I really think is something's gone wrong with our Christianity. I really think we have. We've lost this devotion to God. This devotion to Christ. I don't, you know, I'm not saying this church, I'm talking about the church in general. You know, Val let his daughter die for a false faith, for a false hope, a false spirit, a false Jesus, a different Jesus. But you have the true Jesus. You have the true faith. I have the true faith. You have the true faith. I thank God that he took me out of that cult, that he purchased me with his own blood. I should be more dedicated now than what I was before. And I think that's what he wants from us. He wants dedication. He wants devotion from us. I see this every day when I talk to cult members. I talk to them all the time. And one thing that I am impressed is their dedication. Their commitment. I mean, you talk bad about their religion, they'd get pretty upset. So I think this is presentation, Jehovah's Witness, and when you had Mormons and Islam, and I think God wants our dedication. You know, I don't think God is ever going to say, you know, Pastor Steve, you were just too dedicated. I don't think he's ever going to hear that. Never he's going to hear that. I think we could do more for Christ, couldn't we? I think we can. And I think Jehovah Witnesses, this is why they're, a lot of people ask me, they ask me in the Sunday school, why are they growing? What is the thing that they're growing? Why are they the third fastest growing church in the U.S.? You know, they put burdens on their members' shoulders. You have to do this, you have to do that. They prophesy the end of the world 9 times. They said Christ is coming and he ain't come yet. They put burdens on their shoulders. They all these things. You cannot do this. You cannot do that. That will be the last religion you think will be growing. All right? Mormons, you know, they've had all these polygamy, history on polygamy and all these different killings and things that they've done in the past. Why was it growing? Because they're committed. Because they're committed to it. Why is Christianity in America? Why are we not growing? Because of lack of commitment. That is the reason why. That is the reason why Jehovah's Witnesses, they don't sugarcoat anything. They'll tell you right away, you guys are not going to make it, and we are the only true religion. You would think that would be the last group that of growth. Yet Latin America, they're number one. They've even outgrew the Catholic Church in Mexico. Imagine that. No one is greater of the Catholicism than Mexico other than Europe. Mexico is number one. Well, not anymore. The Jehovah's Witnesses has surpassed the Catholic Church in Mexico. That is a wonder. That's amazing. You know that the second wealthiest church in the world is the Mormons? Last year, they almost passed the Catholic Church in wealth. The Catholic Church is number one in wealth. So why? Because of their devotion, their commitment to what they believe. Would you stand with me for a moment? I know there's people here that are sold out for Christ. Don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to say that we're not committed or anything like that. But you know what? I think we can do more for him. I think we could do more for Christ. I think I could do more for him. You know, I think it's an insult that we give Jesus half commitment. Even give him 90%. You know, when he came and died for us, he didn't die a half death. He didn't die 90%. He died completely. And he asked the same from us. He doesn't ask 90%. He asked for 100%. You know, a lot of people say, man, that's quite a bit. Yes. That's quite a bit. But what did he do for us? He came down from heaven. You know, he did something that you don't even see human kings do. Never in history will you hear that a human king takes off his crown, takes off his kingly dress and his robe and goes and serves and dies for a certain people. Never will you hear that. A human king does that. But you do hear that the great King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, came down to earth and died for me and for you. I mean, what a privilege. And he gives us eternal life. And he doesn't make us work for it, but he gives it for free. He gives it as a gift. And yet we grumble that he calls us to a life of service. Would you close your eyes there where you are for a moment? And think about this for a moment. Where is my commitment to Christ? What level, where is it at? Is it halfway there? Is it 50%? I have to look at my own life too. Where is my level of commitment? Maybe you're doing good, but I think you could do more. I think you could love more. I think you could give more. I think you could show more. You could do more. You could preach more. You could show all these things. There's several times God gives us, we could do more, including myself. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, please help us. Be committed. Be committed to you. I think in the past series, the Islam series, the Mormon series, and this series, one thing you'll be able to tell is that these groups are committed. They're devoted. They're growing. If Val let his daughter die for a lie, what can we do for the truth? What could we do for the truth? Help us stand firm. Help us stand. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Everybody dance. Everybody. This concludes today's message. We hope you can join us next Sunday for services beginning at 10:30 at Life Point Church, located at 400 South Abilene in Valley Center. To get more information on Life Point Church, go to our website at lpcag.org. And we hope you can join us next Sunday with Pastor Steve Raines.